will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the 31st Psalm we hear, O Lord, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. O Lord, we bring another day into our time frames, so help us to use it effectively. Help us to take this extra time to firm up important relationships and do what we may have been putting off. Our lives and times are in your hand, and there we are capable of doing what is right and helpful, most loving and compelling. And on this day, we pray for those who have lost property and life from the tornadoes that have touched down in Branson. Bring comfort to the injured and guidance for those who are there to help. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown,
here.
Callahan,
here.
Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman,
here.
Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Perkison, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
The quorum is present. The Senate is now in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 31st day, Tuesday, February 20.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 5th. 4th.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your right and to my left, from the city of St. Louis, Judge Angela Turner Quiglis is up here visiting us in the Capitol today. She recently made the panel for the Appellate Judge Commission, and I would like all the other senators to give her a very welcome.
We're delighted to welcome Judge Quiglis to the Missouri Senate today. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you. President, I have some special guests who literally came from all over the world to be here today. Today is International Student Day, and a lot of our universities are bringing international students here. We have students from 77 different countries here today. Over 400 students are here today. And the universities so far that are represented are Missouri Baptist University, Missouri State University, University of Missouri Science and Technology, North Central Missouri College, and last but certainly not least, the University of Central Missouri. So would all of our guests from all across the world please stand and let's recognize them for
furthering their education in Missouri. From around the world and around Missouri to the Missouri Senate today. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've got a great group of people here today to be introduced. Today I have with us is the Kirksville High School State Wrestling Team. They are the Class 2 State Wrestling Champions. And I do have a resolution to present to their coach here in a minute. They are coached by Kevin Powell, Aaron Hooper, and Matt Whistler. And they reached this greatest distinction with a lot of work, and I would like the body to make them feel very welcome in our Capitol today, Mr.
President. Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Lewis to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of special guest. Mr. President, on your left and my right, seated over here at the very end is a constituent of mine and a longtime friend of mine, Dr. David Redfern. Rogersville. He is our physician of the day. He's been coming up here and serving us in this capacity for several years, and really appreciate it and want to make him feel welcome.
Let's welcome the doctor of the day to the Missouri Senate. Senator from 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your right and my left, we have with us, joining us, the Missouri Ambulatory Surgery Center Association, and would like them to be made welcome as they join us today in the Missouri Senate.
We're delighted to welcome the folks from the Surgery Center Association to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Phelps.
Introduction of very special guest, Mr. President. On my left and your right, if they would stand, have Dr. Parks and Dr. Hunt. Visiting the Capitol today, they are practicing physicians and visiting with their legislators. Please, I'd like the body to make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the doctors who guests of the Senator from Phelps to the Senate today. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. Senator from the Second. Send it forward.
Okay, thank you.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 856, introduced by Senator Roop, an act relating to the Missouri Employers Mutual Insurance Company.
Senator?
No explanation.
Senator from Phelps.
I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir.
Thank you.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 857, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to funds for sheriffs.
Senator?
No explanation.
Senator from Buchanan.
I have a bill.
Forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 858, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to mental health facility safety provisions.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill would allow advanced practice registered nurses in a collaborative practice arrangement with the attending physician in a state mental facility to order restraints when the physician is unavailable. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator. Introduction of bills. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Send them forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 859, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to mixed martial arts.
Senator?
No explanation.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 860, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to fire sprinkler contractors.
Senator?
No explanation.
Senator from Powell?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 861, introduced by Senator Pergeson, an act relating to effects on Missouri in the event of a sudden breakdown in the authority of the federal government.
Senator?
It's coming. Better get ready for it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward.
I'll sign it when I get it. No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 862, introduced by Senator Engler, an act relating to payment of public work contracts.
Senator from the Fifth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Send your bills forward, madam.
Okay.
Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 863, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to parenting plans upon a finding of paternity.
Senator.
Mr. President, that's just requiring parents to file a parenting plan once paternity has been established in the courts.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 864, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to rehospitalizations of premature infants.
Mr. President, this is requiring the hospitals to report to SCHIP and Missouri Health Net on premature infants that are rehospitalized within the first 6 months of their life.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 865, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to University of Missouri Extension Districts.
Senator, do you care to explain that bill?
I would. That's a bill that deals with the University of Missouri Extension Districts.
Thank you for that brief explanation.
Thank you.
Further introduction bill. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Send them forward.
They're on their way, President.
Secretary, read the first bill.
Senate Bill 866, introduced by Senator Lemke, an act relating to the privatization of the Missouri Employers Mutual Insurance Company.
Senator, can you explain that?
No explanation necessary.
Secretary, read the second bill.
Senate Bill 867, introduced by Senator Lemke, an act relating to ethics.
Care to explain that, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. What this bill would do is codify in statute that site consultants that bring sweetheart projects to Missouri or any other project and try to sell them to our communities would have to register as lobbyists with the state. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, I have two bills.
Send them forward. Secretary, read the first bill.
Senate Bill 868, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to the Missouri Emergency Response Commission.
Care to explain that bill, Senator?
No explanation needed.
Secretary, read the second bill from the Senator from Cole.
Sorry.
Oh, send it forward.
Thank you.
Secretary, read that bill.
Senate Bill 869, introduced by Senator Kehoe et al., an act relating to public utilities.
Care to explain that, Senator?
Yes, Mr. President. I just want my colleagues to know that this is the version of the early site permit bill that we left off with last year with a few minutes to go in session. I believe it was May 13th. This particular piece of that bill, you can get on too if you want, Senator, is just the original part of the bill. It does not have the renewable piece that made it very thick. The senator from Mercer is dealing with a renewable concept within one of his committees, and it came up yesterday in that committee and has come up several times from leadership and various people in this building who were in favor of this last year, that it needs to be out there and available should the renewable legislation be able to move forward. That ended up being married up with this last year. Now we have that as a separate conversation, and we want this available to Missourians. We still think it's an important project. I didn't want to step on the toes of the senator from the 10th, who now represents potentially that district, but it was very important to those folks in Callaway County as well as all of Missouri. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. The senator from the 24th.
I have two bills.
Send your package forward. Secretary, read the first bill.
Senate Bill 870, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to school social workers.
Secretary, read the second bill.
Senate Bill 871, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to domestic violence.
Explanation.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Send the report forward. Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 655, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 648, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, House Concurrent Resolution 8 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Further reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar. Senate Bill 690, the Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 690 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. The Senator from St. Francis.
Now, Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 690 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis. Does any senator desire? Senator, do you care to explain the bill
yes,
first?
Yes, I would. This would have been a consent bills in the day of consent bills. If you remember, a couple years ago, we did the bill to let the state patrol sell their equipment and put it in the revolving fund. Since that time, the water patrol has combined with the state patrol, and all this does is let the water patrol, which is now the state patrol, sell their watercraft and motors in the same fashion, giving preference to other governmental agencies and using that money and the proceeds to put in the revolving fund so that they can use it for further equipment purchases. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that perfection motion? The Senator from the 13th in North St. Louis County. For what reason do you seek recognition?
Quiet the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to the inquiry?
Reluctantly.
He does reluctantly proceed.
Senator, I'm serious. What does it actually do with surplus property of Water Patrol? I didn't catch it all.
What it does is when they have a boat or a motor that they're going to get rid of and upgrade, it lets them put it out and sell it yourself and put the money in the revolving fund, just like the State Patrol can do with their police car or their State Patrol cars.
How were they doing it before you passed this bill?
What have they been doing it?
How have they been doing it?
It is sent to state surplus and goes into state surplus.
So this allows them to do their own surplus.
It will let them do it all with the preference giving to other governmental. Maybe there's a water patrol that is patrolled down in the Kern or some other places by local. It gives them preference.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 1st District in St. Louis County. For what reason do you seek recognition?
Could I inquire the senator from the 3rd?
Senator from the 3rd, do you yield?
I yield.
He does.
Senator, I thank you for your piece of legislation. My information says that they have roughly 28 boats that have been warehoused that are worth approximately $250,000, and
right.
Without your legislation, like you said, they can't sell them.
That's
can't do anything
exactly
with
right.
them. So appreciate what you're doing there.
All right, we're trying to make it a little more efficient. Thank you,
Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
The Senator from St. Francis renews his motion that Senate Bill 690 be perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that same order of business, Senate Bill 578,
The Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 578 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Polk. All those opposing that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 578 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Senator, you've heard the motion from the Senator from Polk. Senator, do you care to explain the bill?
Yeah. Mr. President, this is a piece of property in Pettis County near Sedalia where one side of this piece of property is the fire department, the other side is the National Guard, and the fire department's wanting to expand, so they're just switching property with the National Guard. Same piece of property, just one's a little bigger size than the other one. They're just absolutely swapping pieces of ground.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Polk. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none. Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I renew my motion.
The Senator from Polk renews his motion that Senate Bill 578 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that order of business, Senate Bill 562, the Senator from Green.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 562 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Green. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also move that Senate Bill 562 be move its adoption and move the adoption to substitute also. This bill is pretty simple. It corrects a we had a provision last year that removed the ability from some of our universities, our state universities, to lease property. And actually, the bill, I believe, was intended to affect one in particular. And an amendment by the Senator from the 13th that applied that across the board. And we since have learned that it had more of an impact than we intended. So really this is to kind of back away from what we learned later was a little bit more along the lines of micromanagement, and it's a good consensus. It does carve out the original intent of that bill from last year. So what we're essentially allowing here is to the universities that are listed in the bill to be allowed to lease property. This is a very impactful for specifically my district as it relates to economic development with the Jordan Valley Innovation Center and the Robert Plaster Center for Free Enterprise in Springfield that the university works with small business to help create jobs. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
We're on the motion to adopt the Senate committee substitute that's been moved by the Senator from Green. Does any senator desire to be heard on that? The Senator from Cape Girardeau is on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your explanation. I do appreciate you removing Southeast Missouri State University from this bill. You and I had an opportunity to discuss this earlier, and do appreciate you doing that. I have one question. I need to have an understanding of your intentions on this bill in order for it to move forward. What I'm looking for is I don't necessarily have an issue with the other individuals that represent these universities from abdicating their role of oversight relative to these universities, but if you have any intentions of adding CMO in the House, I'm not going to let this bill go forward, so I need your assurances for this bill to go forward, that if CMO is added in the House, that you will kill this bill?
I have absolutely no intentions of doing that. I've had no discussions with anyone about that. And, I voted for the proposal that you put forth last year, and I understand some of your reasoning for that. And my only intention here is to correct. We got a little broader than I think you intended. And it was a good intention
on behalf of the senator from the 13th, but I have no intention of adding SEMO at any point.
Okay, so I have your word as a senator on the floor that if SEMO gets added by the House and you're not able to kit that off in conference, that you won't be bringing this bill forward.
I'm sorry, say that again. I want to make sure I heard every word.
Okay, that I have your word that if SEMO gets added in the House and you're not able to get it off in conference, that you have no intention of trying to move this bill forward.
Well, if that happens, and again, it's unforeseen, I'll allow you to, I'll let you be the one that kills it. I need to get this done.
It's easier to kill a bill, as you well know, Senator, where I can offer amendments right now than a conference committee report. So I'm trying to work with you.
Sure.
And I appreciate your abilities to work with me to this point, which have allowed us to get to this point where we're a hair away from being able to perfect this. But I've been around this building long enough that I know many of the lobbyists and many of the individuals try to get something passed out of the Senate, and then they just end up going and loading it up over on the House side. And then when it comes back, I don't have the opportunity to amend. I don't have the same procedural advantages that I have now. This bill is before spring break, and I just need your assurances that I'm not going to have to come back here in a conference committee report that I can amend and have to filibuster at that time. Trying to be more efficient, Senator.
And I appreciate that, and I apologize for the nuance. I just want to be very specific with every word. Generally, I would say yes. The only thing I just wanted to be clear that I don't want to be the one to kill the bill at any point, because this is very important for economic development. I want to make sure that we keep SEMO out of it.
I understand. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
Thank you. To inquire the Senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th in North St. Louis County, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
How you doing?
Good.
Thank you for yielding. Basically, I want to explain to the body basically where we're at this issue. You and I have visited with it at length. I have real concerns going all the way back that these universities do not share with us their intentions, their plans. There's no oversight. They end up bonding. They end up spending money. They end up transferring properties without any kind of legislative oversight or understanding. I understand that there's some individuals in this body and in the other body across there that with areas that they represent that they may not want that oversight capacity, and we've struggled with this issue for several years, but I can promise you that as long as I intake oxygen and my feet sit on this floor, that I'm not going to give that discretion to SEMO, because I have seen SEMO abuse that discretion time and time and time again.
Yeah, I think with our time clocks coming to a conclusion, that I see more and more legislators giving up their ability to have oversight. I, in past, have pleaded the senator from Green has talked to me, and it's very important to him. So I said, if that's the route you want to take, I support that. I do have an amendment getting drafted, though, that I want to make sure Truman State has to come back to the General Assembly because of their passionate alumni yesterday getting on the floor and wanting it to all come to the legislature. I would hope Truman State would not want to bypass the legislature, so I am having an amendment drafted as we discuss this to exclude them. Now, they're not in the bill, but they're in a different chapter along with the University of Missouri. So I'm going to add that amendment if I can, just so that since the senator from the 15th in the dais and he's busy and I know he would want me to do this amendment, I'm just going to take it and help him out and do this amendment for him.
Sounds good to me. I think the senator from Green and I were speaking at each other and not with each other, and I appreciate the efforts of the senator from St. Francis. So I appreciate your amendment going forward. We can do that. I'm going to inquire of the senator from Green again, if that's okay. And thanks very much for that
Thank you.
Little time. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
If I could, if the Senator Green, if the Senator from Green would be so gracious as to yield twice to my inquiry, I would appreciate
it. Will you yield?
Yes, I will.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, and I apologize if I wasn't being clear.
That's all right.
Our previous conversations on this, I understand your passion for this issue and moving it forward. I hope you can be respectful of my passion and my experiences with my university back home.
Certainly.
All I'm looking for, and I'm not looking for you to kill the bill, and I think that's what the Senator from St. Francis said, but to have some kind of assurance that I'm not going to be here having to filibuster a conference committee report, because I just soon filibuster a bill as a conference committee report.
Sure.
Because I have procedurally more options available to me.
Understood.
So that's all I'm trying
to
get.
Let me say it this way. If this bill comes back from the House with your university listed in the list, you have my word that if you stand up and object to it, I will withdraw the bill.
Thank you.
While we're talking on this, and I believe that Senator from the 13th is having something drafted, could you enlighten me a little bit? I realize this is your inquiry, but could you enlighten me a little bit as to the issue? You've talked about it, I believe, on the floor, but right. It might be good for those listening what the original problem was with...
Well, my original problems go way back on many issues where somehow these universities believe that they are unaccountable in any way, shape, or form oversight relative to their budgets, relative to the expenditure of their budgets, or much less their strategic planning, particularly as it relates to capital improvements. It also specifically relates to this university in particular, SEMO, that was trying to bring in a university hotel motel within our city and to do land swaps, where all of a sudden our university was going to engage in twofold office rental space as well as hotel rental space, hotel, and they were going to be competing as a nonprofit entity with private enterprise.
A hotel. And,
there are three senators standing at this time. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask for unanimous consent to introduce some special guests over on the left here.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Here with us today are our members and the folks in charge of the St. Louis Ballet Company. With them, and I'd ask them to stand, Lauren Lane, Tiffany Morey, Aaron Swinney, Pam Swanee, Kate Rouser, Elliot Giolette, Jen Horiucci, and Chris Howard, who is a constituent and is on the board of directors there. They're a great group. They perform and do a wonderful job in St. Louis and would ask this chamber make them feel welcome as they join us here today.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from the 15th. Thanks for coming to the Capitol. Senator from Cape Girardeau, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I can continue my inquiry, the Senator from
Green. Proceed.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator. And so couple that with just a decade of experiences. I want to make sure I heard you right.
You said a hotel?
Yes. And I want the ability to, whenever these land swaps, whenever these leases are done, to have the exact nature explained to me before any bill passes. And without, if we were to pass your bill, these universities all of a sudden will bypass you. You will not be included in these conversations, and you won't have the ability to weigh whether or not it's not only in the best interest of this university, but your district as a whole. So that's why I am against this. There is no problem whatsoever, in my estimation, that a university has to come to the General Assembly, explain what they want to do, no different than the senator from, I don't even know where is Parsons?
I could.
The senator from Polk explained that he had a land transfer that he wanted the National Guard to give to his fire department, and they were going to swap it out, and they did all of that. I think that is a legitimate thing that we as the Missouri Senate need to have oversight on, and that's why, as long as I intake oxygen and my feet stand firmly in this Senate, I'm going to make sure that SEMO doesn't do it. Now, make no mistake, I'm going to vote against your bill, but as you well know as a senator, there's two thresholds. There's getting to a vote, and then there's getting the vote. And I have no problem with allowing you to get to a vote on your bill as long as CMO's out. But I'm just fundamentally, in my experience in this building, am against relinquishing this role of oversight that limited as it is that this General Assembly has over these educational institutions.
Well, I'm glad we had this conversation, and it really, and I appreciate where you're coming from. It helps me to have, you know, a greater understanding. I know you've talked about it in general terms in the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee, but I appreciate the depth to which we've talked about it. I perhaps you've mentioned some of the specifics before, but if I had the situation going on in the 30th district where I felt like the, like you said, a nonprofit was actively trying to compete with small business in my district, I would have some of the same concerns. Fortunately, I can't speak for the other areas, but what I've seen is a very collaborative arrangement where they're actually supporting the development of industries, and it's supported by the entire community. And there's not, I don't see what's going on like you have. So I'm glad that you've explained that, and I've gained a new depth for it. And just to reiterate, you have my word. If it comes back from the House with CMO in the bill, then and you stand up and object, I will withdraw the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment. I ask that it be read.
Send the amendment forward. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Green to amend Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 562, page 5, section 37.005, line 149, by inserting after the following, quote, assembly, close quote, the following, quote, notwithstanding the provisions of section 174.630 to the contrary, the Board of Governors of Truman State University shall be required to follow the procedures of subsection 12 of this section to convey or otherwise transfer the title to or other interest in real property, close quote.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, I move for the adoption of the amendment. What this amendment does is, as you heard from the debate with the senator from Cape, there's certain universities that will be able to transfer in leased property without coming to the General Assembly, but there are certain ones that cannot. Truman State University is currently under the sections and the statutes of the University of Missouri, so this makes sure they have to go through the same procedures and come in front of the General Assembly, like Southeast Missouri State will continue to have to do in several of the other universities. If there's no questions, I move for the adoption of my amendment.
Senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you rise?
Quiet, Senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
You know, we haven't third read your bill yet.
I'm just trying to make sure that your worry about coming to the General Assembly is consistent with leased property.
Well, I appreciate you looking out for my interests. I would prefer that we don't do the amendment because they don't really have a dog in this fight. And that this is a...
Here's what it was, Senator. I'm going to withdraw my amendment because of that strong dissertation you just made on the Senate floor. But I seen you on the dais, and I was like, I'm worried. I'm worried about the interest of the senator from 15.
Well, thanks.
And making sure universities have to come before the General Assembly. But now that you have come off the dais and expressed that you do not think this amendment is needed, I will listen to your statements, and I will abide by them because
Thank
of you. My utmost respect for the knowledge you have of the process.
And as do I of you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I withdraw my amendment.
Madam Secretary, please send the amendment back. Further discussion on the substitute. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my right and on your left, we've got some members here today from the University of Missouri Ag Alumni Association. They've got their president with them, Mr. Rick Meyer. And I want to point out that of alumni associations in the state of Missouri, the Ag Alumni Association, in particular at the university, is very active. They're very supportive of the university. They do a wonderful job, and I'd ask the body to make them feel welcome.
Will the guests of the Senator from Boone please stand and be recognized? Welcome to the state capitol and to the Senate. Senator from Livingston, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from Green.
Senator from Green. Senator from Green. The Senator from Holt would like an inquiry. Do you yield to the Senator from Nottoway?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I'm sorry, I didn't get down here early enough to hear exactly what this bill's. I know you've got a couple bills that we're going to be working on here.
Yes.
And walk me through just real quick what this one is doing again.
This, quite frankly, reverses a kind of an overreach that we made inadvertently in the last session. It was well-intended, but and we've had a little bit of discussion on it today, but the currently, because of some action we took last year, we're kind of micromanaging some leases with respect to these economic development centers that are in place. In my district specifically, the Idea Commons, the Jordan Valley Innovation Center, and the Center for Free Enterprise and Business Development, they have been working in a collaborative arrangement, leasing space. The university has been leasing space to startup companies, and it's got just near unanimous support in the community. Senator from Cape last year had a bill that essentially carved out SEMO because of some problems that he was elaborating on some more for me this morning. And a senator from the 13th last year, and I remember the discussion he and I had, he said if that's good for them, it's probably good policy for the entire state. So that amendment, as you probably recall, was adopted last year. It was in good faith. I think the intention was very good. But what it did is it had the effect with the micromanagement in those other areas. It had the effect of putting the screeching brakes on that economic development activity that's going on in those innovation centers. So this would free that up and get us out of that position of micromanaging and really back to kind of a responsible oversight. But one thing I should point out, and I know if you might have heard from your office or wherever you were prior to coming to the floor, that we've made sure that CMO's carved out of it, this specific bill, because of the issues that the senator from Cape elaborated on just a few minutes ago.
Okay, and then the senator from the 13th, and he
has an amendment, I believe, that's pending right now.
Or did he? I think he withdrew his amendment. Okay, so he's withdrawn.
Okay, I apologize. I was in another conversation there.
That's okay. Okay, so Senator, I guess the question is this just for these innovation centers on campuses, or is this any lease? How broad is this?
Essentially just removing that amendment that we put in last year, so it would go back to what we had before. Specifically in the bill, if you go to, it's just the leasing of property.
So if they try to sell property or do any of that kind of stuff, that still takes authorization.
Yeah, we oversee that. Yes, that's why I said that's what I would refer to as responsible oversight. The sale of property, of course, would come through the General Assembly.
So they can lease without legislative action, but to sell, it would still take legislative.
Right. What we did last year, and it's in Chapter 37, of course. That it was House Bill 137 from last year, the truly agreed version. The amendment had the effect of prohibiting the leasing of property to tenants without first gaining the
specific express approval of the General Assembly. So we were put in the position of, and it's just leasing, approving each lease. And so this just removes that. They can do that with these innovation centers, but again, it's only for those listed. It does not.
Well, does it specifically say, or, and maybe I'm just confused on process here, but this still ensures that the local board, the board of these universities, still have to approve the leases, right? This isn't something that just a president can do at his discretion.
Well, that was in statute before, and it goes back to that.
That the board, you're saying that the board, got it.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I needed to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Seeing none, the senator from Green, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion on the adoption of the substitute.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the substitute. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion on the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 562.
Motion for perfection.
For perfection, excuse me.
The senator from Green moves that the Senate Bill 562 be perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The senator from Green renews his motion that Senate Bill number 562 with substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that same calendar, Senate Bill 563, the senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate Bill 563 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Green. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. The senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also move that the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 563 be adopted. This substitute and this provision just cleans up some conflicting language with regard to the appointment, the term of the appointments to members of the Board of Governors for Missouri State University. This goes back to the genesis of this conflict goes back to the time that the legislation pertaining to the name change went through this body a number of years ago. Essentially, there's in the same section, there are two different directives in the statute. One is that the term of office shall be for 6 years, and then the other provision says that they shall be staggered. There was, because they all started at the same time with that new statute, there was no way to stagger them. Now, the governor has been attempting to follow the spirit of that and appoint those with staggered terms. We have confirmed a number of those appointments, but this would clear up the conflict, and as members can see on page 2 of the bill, delineate those so that they are staggered and then remove the other portion. That's it. I'd be happy to answer any questions in addition to that if there are any. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Green. Does any senator desire to be heard on that adoption motion of the Senate committee substitute? The senator from Grundy, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
I do not believe it's been distributed. It has been distributed? I believe it has been distributed. I request a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, a reading shall be waived.
Thank you. I move for the adoption of the amendment. Essentially, what this amendment would do, in Northwest Missouri, the Northwest Missouri State University, they have a 14-county catchment area. That's the area to which they serve. And we border Missouri Western to our south. We border Trenton, the community college, to our east. And what has happened is over time, specifically under this governor, which has never happened under any other governor, This governor tried to appoint four of the eight members of the Board of Regents from a six-block area. So literally they would have a quorum that all lived within six blocks of each other. And I've been going round and round and round with this governor. My belief that that's not good government, my belief that when you have a 14-county catchment area, we should have a board that's diversified, that is geographically spread throughout that entire catchment area to try to balance all of these issues as well as the way that we interact with our neighbors. Long story made short, what I'm going to do is I'm going to clarify in statute that no more than that two members of the eight members can come from the same county. I mean, I think 25% of the board all living within one county is more than enough. And with that, Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the amendment. I'm happy to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Caldwell. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the ninth, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I seek unanimous consent to introduce a special guest today?
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. Mr. President, to my right and to your left, we have Colonel Kevin Masters of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. I'm very grateful to have him in the Capitol today with all the hard work that the Kansas City Police Department has done over the past several years. So with that, I would like the body to make him feel welcome today.
Let's make the guest of the fine senator from the ninth feel welcome as he joins us here today in the Missouri Senate. We're on Senate Amendment 1 by the senator from Caldwell. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none. Senator, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
I close.
The senator from Worth renews his motion that Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 563 be adopted. As many of the pending that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The aye appears to have it in a whisker. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment 1 is adopted. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion of the Senate Committee Substitute, the senator from Boone County?
I hope the senator from the 12th is happy that I was the lone aye on his... Can I inquire the senator from the 30th?
Senator from the 30th, you yield to the inquiry.
Yes, I do.
He does proceed.
Okay, Senator, can you explain just one more time what this thing does?
It's really pretty simple. When the legislation changing the name of the university was passed...
Changing the name of
the university in Springfield. How's
yes.
that?
What is currently referred to as Missouri State
University.
The South, basically the Southwest, was taken off of Southwest Missouri State.
Did
right?
you hear me almost slip up a few minutes ago?
I did. And if I remember correctly, and I wasn't here at the time, but I certainly followed it, I think that was at about 3 o'clock in the morning that happened. And it looks to me like what you're trying to do. Oh, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. What you're trying to do is actually fix some of what I would refer to as sloppiness that resulted from something being resolved after an all-nighter at 6 o'clock in the morning. Is that generally the consensus?
I am trying to correct conflicting language, but I won't argue with your assessment.
Well, I agree it should probably be corrected.
Pardon me?
I agree it should probably be corrected.
Yes.
And I do have an amendment that would insert the word Southwest before the word Missouri, which I think would really fix.
I missed
it. It would really fix what happened at 6 o'clock in the morning on that day.
I missed the second thing that you said. I'm sorry.
It would just—it's really simple. It only adds three words to your bill by inserting the word Southwest in three different locations before the name Missouri State University. Because ultimately, I think that would really fix what happened at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then we could fix everything, right?
Well, we'd probably be here for a long time. I don't want to be here till 6 o'clock in the morning. But I'm assuming that you're offering this in a humorous nature, but
I haven't offered it.
I also understand your passion for it. So
I have not offered the amendment yet. I just wanted your take on the amendment, since you're the sponsor of the bill.
Well, naturally, I would have to, with all due respect for the excellent university in the University of Missouri system, rather than pointing to one facility, I would have to object. But I appreciate where you're coming from and certainly your passion for, the University of Missouri system.
All right. Well, thank you, Senator. I think you're cleaning up some sloppiness from an all-nighter, and I think mine would too, but I tell you, this time I don't think I'm going to offer my amendment, but thank you for the inquiry.
I'm grateful for that.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion of the Senate Committee substitute? The senator from Johnson County, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Seeking unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
I have three very special guests today. They're with NEA, and they're from my district back home, so if they would please stand up. Callan Tapp from Raymore, Rebecca McIntosh from Grandview, and Samantha Dane, also from Grandview.
Let's make the guests of the Senator from Johnson feel welcome as they join us today on the side gallery. Appreciate that. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate committee substitute? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
I renew my motion to adopt the adoption substitute.
The senator renews his motion to adopt the Senate committee substitute to his Senate Bill 563. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You adopted the Senate committee substitute. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 563 be perfected.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Green County. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none. Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I renew my motion.
Senator from Green renews his motion. That Senate Bill 563, with its Senate committee substitute that has been adopted, be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Having moved from the legislative agenda of the senator from Green, we stay on that order of business to Senate Bill 763, the senator from St. Francis County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 763 be taken up for perfection. That's 736.
736. Senate Bill 736. You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Francis. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from St. Francis.
Now, Mr. President, I move that the Senate Bill number 736 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Francis. Does any senator, do you care to explain that bill,
yes,
Senator?
Yes, I do. What this is for strictly for St. Francis County. They're in the second class, and they have the ability to go ahead. We gave them a few years ago to make the determination when they want to go to first class. If so, it doesn't involve any tax increases or anything else. The people would have to vote on that. But they would like to move to first class because they think that there would be some advantage to be in a first-class county when they try to attract business and industry, but yet it will hurt their road construction. So they went to all the cities in the district because, as some of you know, when you go to a first-class county, then they have to give 25% of their road sales tax back to the cities. And what they've done is asked just for St. Francis County if the cities would agree to do away with that, because in St. Francis County we've only have a concentration of a couple cities and we have a lot of county roads, and the cities overwhelmingly said that they would like to go to first class if the commissioners decided to, and they would give up the 25% that would go back to their cities. It's only for St. Francis County. It doesn't raise any taxes, but it gives them the flexibility that sometime in the future they could move to first class status. With that, I would be happy to answer questions. Otherwise, I'd renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Francis. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from Johnson County, for what reason do you rise?
Inquire the maker of the bill.
Senator from St. Francis, yes. Yield.
Is this proceed. Only St. Francis County?
Once again, it's only St. Francis.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further inquiries. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none. Senator from St. Francis, you're recognized. Close.
Mr. President, on behalf of all the citizens of St. Francois County, I close.
The senator from St. Francois renews his motion that Senate Bill 736 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying senator from the 23rd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, similar to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 568.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 568, Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 568 be called from the informal calendar and taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Polk County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Are all those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. That bill is before the body. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 568 be adopted, and I urge the body to defeat the substitute. I'm going to go back to the underlining bill, and I'm going to take the substitute out, so I urge the body to defeat that after yesterday's.
To be clear, the bill is up for adoption. That has been moved. Does any senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute? The senator from the 11th in Jackson County, for what reason do you rise?
May I briefly inquire the senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, this is informational for the body. This is the bill from yesterday that included a provision that added new penalties in the sub. You're requesting the body to turn down the sub. So the base bill then just goes back to the move-over provisions that you had in the interline
Simply
bill.
Goes back to the move-over language for MoDOT vehicle.
So you want the body to defeat the sub?
I do.
All right, thank you.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the motion? The senator from Cole County is on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
I appreciate the patience of the senator from Polk. Mr. President, this comment is really based originally before I introduce my guest towards you. Yesterday we saw a wonderful three-year-old young lady working the Senate floor, and I just want you to know that 17 years from now, you're going to experience what I am, which is my special guest. To my left, to your right, is my daughter, Carol, here on spring break from the University of Dayton, who will be shadowing me today.
Let's make the guest and the daughter of the senator from Cole feel welcome as she joins us today in the Missouri Senate. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion of the Senate Committee substitute the senator from Cape Girardeau? For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. Are we going to try to move tongue-in-cheek here, or what are we doing?
Well, we're taking out all the substitute language in the bill, and we're back to basically just...
Okay. So did you drop a new substitute then?
No, I'm going to vote it down.
Okay. Okay, so we're moving tongue-in-cheek on the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. Get back to the underlying bill, which was your move
over.
I'm
going to perfect it.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Polk renews his motion to adopt Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill 568. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
No.
Those of the contrary, no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. You have adopted that substitute. I'm sorry, you have failed to adopt the substitute. We are back on the underlying bill, Senate Bill 568. Senator from Polk.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill 568 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Polk. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Polk renews his motion that Senate Bill 568 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll stay on that calendar. Senate Bill 621.
Senate Bill 621 on the informal calendar. Senate bills for perfection. The senator from Phelps County.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 621, with the Senate Committee substitute and the Senate substitute, be called from the informal calendar and be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Phelps to adopt the Senate Committee substitute. To take the bill up before the body. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. We're back to the senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, to refresh everyone's memory, we brought the Senate Committee substitute, and we had a Senate substitute that was adopted, and then we laid it on the informal calendar here about a week ago. And what this bill deals with is trying to create a more efficient and less duplicative regulatory environment for Missouri hospitals and their licensure. And what we did in the Senate committee substitute, we had some cleanup language, and the Senate substitute went a little further with housekeeping. And the floor substitute, what it did was it brought the language in line with some of the federal agencies, and that's what we're trying to do with this act. We're trying to get the Department of Health and Senior Services regulatory language to be the same as some of the federal language. Therefore, when there is an inspection made, we're not overlapping three or four different groups. So this act requires the Department of Health and Senior Services to review and revise its regulations governing hospital licensure enforcement to promote efficiency and eliminate duplicate regulations and inspections on the behalf of the state and federal agencies. The department is also required to adopt regulations that require, among other things, specific findings of deficiencies to refer to those specific written and publicly available standards that is the basis of the finding, consistency with the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, conditions of participation, a process and standards to determine if a complaint warrants an on-site investigation, and the limits to the complaint investigation performed by the department to the specific regulatory standard raised by the complaint. Unless there's a documented and an immediate serious threat, which goes along with federal law, then these guidelines are included in hospital licensure regulations. A process to provide a hospital with a report of all complaints made against it. So, you know, we feel that if you have complaints against a hospital, the hospital should know what those complaints are in writing. They should have an opportunity to, with their quality control people, have a meeting, know what these complaints are, and be able to fix the problem. And I don't think this leads to covering up or hiding the problem. In other words, what we're trying to do is let the hospitals know what they can do to act better to protect health across the state of Missouri. And the hospital and staff shall have the opportunity to participate at least annually in training sessions provided to state licensure surveyors and in the training of surveyors assigned to the inspection of hospitals to the fullest extent possible. In other words, we want them to know what they're doing wrong if they are doing something wrong and there's a pattern. They want to know. They want to fix it. So this act also established specific timelines identical to those in CMS State Operations Manual for state hospital officials to respond to hospital regarding the status and outcome of pending investigations and possible regulatory actions. And, you know, we've done a lot of work on this piece of legislation, trying to get the different groups together, trying to do what we think is best for the people of the state of Missouri to help eliminate or control health care costs. And I think the proposed hospital licensure revisions would require the Department of Health and Senior Services, as we said, to review and revise its regulations governing hospital licensure and enforcement, to promote efficiency and get on board state and federal agencies to where they're requiring the same thing and doing the same thing in the inspections, or at least have some, you know, they can all do their inspections independent. They can do their inspections ever how they want, but we want some language that puts everyone on a level playing field, so to speak. So, you know, I think there's I've had discussions with other senators within the body. Some of them have pretty strong concerns about this piece of legislation for it, and some against. And at this point, I'd like to inquire the senator from Green and see if he has anything he would like to say on this legislation.
The senator from Green yield to the inquiry from the senator from Phelps.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I know that you and I have had some discussions, and in your area, I thought we might let you relay some of the some of the questions, some of the problems that came up with your hospitals, and some things that you have observed personally.
Yes. In fact, you know, we've talked a little bit about regulatory reform on the Senate floor this year. I'm grateful for that. And I know I've had a number of constituents that have expressed gratitude for our willingness to tackle that issue. Going back to a meeting that a number of our delegation members from Southwest Missouri had in Springfield at one of our facilities, one of our hospitals, we were told in great detail about a situation where regulators came in, and it was quite, to make a long story short, quite frankly, because of the way it was handled, patients were potentially put at risk. And I think your effort here to streamline this process is a noble one, and I'm glad that you brought it forward to the body, and I hope we can get it done. I forget the number of people that they had come in, but one of the things that I remember specifically that was just outrageous was the hospital administrators knew the rule better than the folks that were there to enforce it from the department. In fact, they had to tell them that no, because you have labeled it as this immediate jeopardy issue, that you can't leave until it's resolved. They were going to go and, you know, let them work on it. They were going to leave the facility, and the hospital administrators actually had to tell the folks from the department, no, your rules say that you have to stay here until we fix it. So they knew it better than the folks that were there to supposedly enforce the regulations that, again, were putting patients at risk. And at that point, naturally, I launched into a discussion about the need for regulatory reform and how we need to, you know, we sunset legislators and laws, but we don't sunset regulations, and we don't have any provision by which to have a regular review process. So, yeah, I appreciate you bringing this forward, and I think it's very important, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this with the hospital there in Springfield, because I'm sure that you feel the same way. I don't want my constituents put at risk because a bureaucrat comes in, and to make it worse, one who doesn't even know that they can't leave when their own rules say that they have to stay there. So that's my general recollection of that. And I forget the number of folks that they said were at that meeting that was held there at the hospital, but they told us that they were there for a very long time, and they didn't really have a specific purpose. They kind of had them giving all kinds of paper. They were asking for all kinds of things, and that's actually what kind of created the problem with the patient's safety, because they were having to pull. They made the request for information so broad, rather than identifying a few related specific issues. They made it so broad that the hospital had to pull folks off of other areas and to get all of this information together for them. And, you know, they don't run the facility on just an abundance of people that they don't need, so they had to pull them away from the reason that they're there, which is to take care of the folks that we're all here to serve. And so, yeah, it's a real issue. I'm grateful that you brought it forward. And I'll tell you, I know that there are probably any number of issues that could be attached, but this issue is so important. It's near and dear to my heart because it also deals with regulatory reform. I hope that we can move it through on its own merits so it doesn't get bogged down on peripheral issues that also are important, but really should have their own debate. you and I know how things can happen in this building in that way, whether it's for those purposes or not. That's the reality. So again, I thank you for bringing it forward, and I thank you for the opportunity to relate to the body the experience that not only my healthcare professionals in Springfield experienced, but my constituents who happen to be patients there.
Well, I want to thank you, Senator. I know you've done a lot of work on regulatory reform, and that gets us thinking. You know, we need state and federal agencies kind of on the same page and not stumbling over one another. And, you know, personally, in my hospital, these folks are not worried near as much about as their own internal quality control people. Those are the folks that are really keeping their feet to the fire. They're there all the time. They're looking, they're watching. And this tends to be once a year or once every 18 months. I think right now, Department of Health and Senior Services don't have enough inspectors to do annual inspections. And in reality, what we're trying to codify in law is kind of what they're doing. They are utilizing the CMS and some of the other inspectors and their findings in their licensure process. So why not get everyone on the same page and do it legal and proper?
So you're really trying to streamline the process to
absolutely
to make sure that the taxpayers getting the most efficient type of oversight that they deserve and should have. And it sounds to me like you're trying to make sure the patients are not jeopardized because of an overzealous bureaucrat that goes in and asks for a wheelbarrow load of paper when a stack might do the job.
That's our intention, is just to make this process of licensure more streamlined and more effective for everyone, which in the long run tends to lower healthcare costs. And that's what we're trying to do with a lot of legislation in the state of Missouri and nationally, is get a control on healthcare costs. We do not in any way want to jeopardize care of the patient. And I think that's important. Anytime there's a complaint, that complaint is answered by the department. You know, and sometimes you get loved ones call and say, you know, they didn't give me anything to drink all night. Well, they may be an NPO patient. There's nothing for us overnight because the procedure's going to have. So just, you know, that's a complaint that you can probably deal with without an on-site inspection. If it's a serious or putting someone in jeopardy, they can go every week if need be. So we're not limiting their ability to inspect. We're trying to streamline the licensure process, which I think is, sometimes gets a little bit confused in the whole process of healthcare. How many hoops do they need to jump through?
I think so, too. I might have I saw the senator from the 11th was concerned about my reference to a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Maybe I might have said it with that Southwest Missouri dialect on the end of it. But, yeah, a wheelbarrow load. And that's what happened down there. They had to produce so much paper that they really wound up taking all kinds of folks off of the front line, so to speak. Whether, you know, and specifically what those were, I don't know. They went into it. I just don't remember. And so I think this is great. I applaud you for bringing it forward. And if we can, that's really, I think, our role is to make sure, you know, there is a role for oversight. And that's what the executive branch should be doing. But when it gets so broad that it's adversely affecting our constituents, we have a responsibility, I think, to step in and sort of get them back in line to the intent of the General Assembly and not
try to get a little bit of control on that whole process.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your inquiry, and I appreciate you letting us know your opinion, and I think this does fit somewhat in line with your regulatory reform, and streamlining the process without jeopardizing health is what we're after here. So,
absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Does the senator desire to be heard on the motion from the senator from Phelps? Oh, I'm sorry. The senator from Phelps still has the floor.
Yes.
Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I would like to inquire the senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian, do you yield to the inquiry from the Senator from Christian is not in the chamber? He is being summoned. Senator from Johnson, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. With unanimous consent, and while we're waiting for someone to come here for an inquiry, I thought I might introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your leadership and for your consultation on the Senate rules. That's very good. We do have some special guests in the upper gallery. They're with the Missouri Cattlemen's. They've had like a two-day meeting. They had a leadership meeting yesterday, and then we have some cattlemen who are still hanging around today. So they're from all across the state, and if our cattlemen would please stand and be recognized.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Johnson and our fine cattlemen here to the Capitol today. We are still waiting for the Senator from Christian to be summoned.
I can go on to another senator. I think he may have left the building, I've been told.
Senator from Phelps.
Yeah, I'd like to inquire the senator from Buchanan. He has some, we've discussed this issue quite a bit, and I think he has some things he might want to say.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to the inquiry?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for inquiring me, Senator. I have a unique experience among senators in this chamber because I've dealt in...
Can't hear you. Speak just a little louder.
Can you turn up the volume there a little bit? Can you hear me now?
Can't hear you still very well.
Okay.
Speak loudly.
I'll turn it up.
You are a strong doctor.
Is that better?
That's better.
What I was saying was that I have a unique experience among senators in the chamber as I've spent many hours of my life in hospitals, and I have experiences that give me great concern about passing the bill that you're offering today. And some of the national statistics that I've seen would disturb you. For example, according to the Missouri Center for Patient Safety, up to 98,000 patients die annually in hospitals due to medical errors. And that's with the current amount of inspections that we have now. And your bill will significantly decrease the number of inspections that will be done at hospitals, won't it?
Well, Senator, the inspections we're talking about is the licensure process. And I think sometimes issues, in other words, we can still hold the licensure process over their heads if they have an unusually high number of deaths in surgery or an unusually high number of poor outcomes. They have the ability to go in numerous times. It's not just limited to this. And I think if those things are occurring in a facility, that's going to be very well known by the news media, by the reporting services, by the communities, and they're going to be complaining. They're going to be asking for more inspections of the licensure process. And, you know, and above all, as you and I know, the license, whether it's my veterinary medical license, your doctorate, allow you to practice. And the same process occurs in the hospitals, I think. If you take their license away, they're out of business. So we're not affecting that process to hold people accountable.
Well, basically, your bill reduces the number of inspections, the number of annual inspections, by two-thirds, does it not?
Well,
I mean, at least for those hospitals,
is a statute, and that's about what's going on now. In other words, the department does not apparently have, and it still has, areas for annual inspections, annual training sessions. In other words, if a hospital has a problem, there's going to be an inspection done more frequently than every 3 years. We're allowing, if this hospital within the last 18 months to 3 years has been inspected by CMS or Joint Commission, that that actually meets the need for licensure inspection if they pass that inspection. Now, if there's problems, I think you and I are aware that that doctors serving on staff at a hospital are going to be concerned as well, because most of this is public knowledge today.
I have to tell you, that's not my experience.
Yeah.
My experience is different. I noticed that a lot of the physicians on the hospital, at the hospital, are either employed by the hospital, in which case they have a certain amount of fear to bring forward complaints about quality because they're afraid that they'll lose their jobs. Or they have a relationship with the hospital where they have, a contract that limits the number of providers for a given service to their own group, say radiology, pathology, it can be orthopedics now, cardiology. And what happens is that these physicians are also afraid to demand the really high quality things that need to happen because they're afraid they'll lose their exclusive contract. And my experience is that you cannot count on them to do the job. In fact, I have several stories that I want to tell, and one of them in particular will illustrate what I'm talking about.
Well, I think the hospital you're referring to happens to be in your district, correct?
My experiences, most of my practice life has been in one hospital.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that you can probably conclude that similar things happen at similarly situated hospitals in Missouri. Whereas your hospital may be a relatively small one with a much more integrated medical staff and a much closer to the action board of trustees or directors. And so your experience at your hospital probably isn't representative of the lion's share of bigger hospitals, would be my guess.
Well, we serve a regional area, and the largest employer in the county is the local hospital presently. I can't say that in the region because I have Fort Leonard Wood in my region, and Fort Leonard Wood is probably the largest employer in Middle Missouri, maybe the Midwest for that matter. But are you on staff at this hospital that you have a lot of problems with?
Well, now I would rather that you wouldn't use the words on staff at a hospital that I have this problem with. It isn't that I'm addressing a specific problem today. I'm talking about a collection of experiences, and I am on staff at a hospital. Yes, in fact, I'm on staff at two different hospitals. But the problem here is that your bill has about 14 ways, removed a lot of oversight from hospitals, and I'll be glad to go through them with you. In fact, I have several amendments that I intend to offer to see if we can't make your bill a little bit better.
Okay.
But I've also told you that I am more than willing to negotiate and come to a compromise on this bill. And so far, there's been no movement or offer to compromise. And
Senator, I haven't heard from you either. You keep saying you want to compromise, and you have compromises you want to offer, and I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen an amendment.
I think that you and I have discussed that there really are three ways to make sure that a hospital or any provider really does a better job. The first way is through regulation like that is in the law here. I mean, this regulation calls for annual inspections of quality problems when they're seen, and the current law has some pretty tough provisions designed to force hospitals to do a better job. Now, you yourself have said that they are not following the law as it is.
They do not have the number of inspectors to go and do the on-site inspection, so they are utilizing inspections from federal agencies, and this law brings our state more in alignment of what the federal regs are. Therefore, I contend that this bill actually causes more regulation than brings them more up to speed, because our state can accept some of
those.
But
now, aren't the federal laws and regulations already in place over any hospital that accepts federal money? So they're already having to abide by those. But isn't it also true that the federal government expects the state to sometimes act as their agent in inspecting hospitals?
I think that goes both ways, and I think if we bring our regs and our language up to the federal level, that it will work both
ways. Well, see, we're not bringing our regs up to the federal level. What we're doing is we're dumbing down our regs to the federal level. The federal level already requires a certain set of things, and what this bill is trying to do is relieve the hospitals from having to do that set of things that is over and above what the federal regulations require. Isn't that the case?
I don't agree with you.
Okay. Well, as I was telling you, there's really three ways to get hospitals to do a better job. And the first way is through regulation like this. The second way is through the tort system, where if you are in the hospital and they do something bad to you, you go to your attorney and you sue them. But unfortunately, the tort system only provides justice a percentage of the time. It doesn't allow for people with lesser malpractice problems from ever even accessing the court system. And
how's your third way to fix it?
I'm sorry?
You said there were three ways.
Right,
you've
right.
You've done two.
Right. The third way is through free and open competition in the market. That's the true way to get a competitor in the marketplace to do a better job and provide higher quality and a lower price. And it works in every market in our nation. And the problem is that we don't have free and open competition because of a thing called the Certificate of Need process in Missouri. And so, as I told you, and you were in the room when we talked with the lobbyists from the Missouri Hospital Association present, and I said, hey, I'm all about reducing regulation, but if I'm going to reduce, severely reduce, through your bill, the regulation on hospitals that protect my constituents and all the citizens of Missouri, then there needs to be a corresponding increase in the freedom of competition so that they can be protected through that mechanism. And the lobbyist from the hospital association said, that's not negotiable. Then I said, well, then let's discuss CON reform. Let's talk about that.
Been waiting for you to bring something forward.
Oh, okay. Well, my understanding was that we need to sit down at around a table and talk about the elements of your bill and the elements of my CON reform bill and negotiate, you know, a little here, a little there, and let's find something that works. And I'm stand ready and willing to sit down and have that negotiation with you if you want to lay this bill over.
One question I want to ask you. You laid out the three things that improve hospital care. One thing that I did not hear in there is I also think physician involvement in the hospital is a big part of that as well, don't you?
I do, but unfortunately, physicians aren't involved unless they...
If they practice there, they have to be involved. The quality of care is driven by...
You know, you would think so, but it isn't in reality. It isn't true that... In my opinion, the physician members of hospital boards of directors generally have conflicts of interest, one way or another, that prevent them from acting purely in the best interest of the patients.
And that's why we have things like adverse medication events cause more than 770,000 injuries and deaths each year at a cost of as high as $5.6 billion annually in the United States. That's unacceptable.
I agree. That is pathetic.
And your hospital may be better than average.
Your requirement is going to fix that.
Well, what I'm trying to tell you is...
That is on the level of people.
I'm more than willing and ready to sit down and start talking, but that's... I mean, if we're going to eliminate a lot of oversight of regulation...
I contend that this is not eliminating oversight.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Does it not say that it's going to eliminate duplicative inspections?
Yes. Why should we have an inspection by Department of Health and Senior Services today? They've been running around the hospital, upsetting the normal routine and how things go. They've been in same-day surgery, or they've been, on one of the floors, one of the telemetry floors. And then next week, you get the federal group comes by, basically are doing the same thing.
But you don't know that for sure, do you? You don't know that those inspections are identical. There may be subsets of one or the other that fall outside the other. And they may be inspecting some duplicate, but some that are not so duplicate. And those could be important areas to look for needed improvements.
Right. Well, I think if the first group finds anything that they have questions about, they're going to file a complaint against that license. There's a process, and we're asking this process to be a little more open at this time so the hospital knows, hey, if we're doing something wrong, what are we doing wrong? In other words, if you come into my veterinary hospital and you do an inspection and you write me up for some reason, I don't know what the reason is, and I can't talk about this or relay this to my staff, to me, that inspection process is flawed.
Well, let's
People
talk.
People need to know what's going on.
Well, I agree. We need to know what's going on. And if you eliminate one of the inspections, you eliminate an opportunity for the inspectors to find the problems. And let me tell you, and make no mistake about this, I'm not talking about any one specific incident, but hospitals hide quality problems. Now, you might find that hard to believe, but they do. And I have seen it. I've seen it a lot. And I have plenty of stories to tell about how that happens. And they hide it from inspectors, too.
Do you report that as a physician?
Yeah, I have reported it. But see, one of the problems that we have is when hospital employees come to somebody, they come to the physician, they come to the legislator. I'll bet you that some legislators in this room have had this happen, where quality problems have been discussed, and you say to that hospital employee, are you willing to put your name behind that? And they say, I'll lose my job. I have to support my family. If I come forward, I'll lose my job, and I'll be having to drive 50, 100 miles to go to work every day. And they won't come forward as a result. And the whistleblower protections that we have in statute aren't adequate to induce them to do that. And as a result, quality problems continue. I have seen this dozens of times. And it's enough. I have had enough experience that I feel very strongly about this. You know, the second thing in your list, in your bill, is that it says that only specific written and publicly available standards will apply. Well, I got to ask, what if they're not written? Is the set of every important standard reduced to writing regarding hospital care? And I would have to say, I doubt it. I mean, there are so many areas that probably wouldn't be reduced to writing, or that somebody would say, well, that doesn't apply to that, or it might be a subset of some standard. When you put that in there and you make it difficult for the inspector to point at a specific written standard, then you're reducing the oversight to the hospital.
Well, I think a written standard gives you a template for doing an inspection. I mean, they can go outside that if they see something wrong, but, you know, even in a small business, generally you have a template or a set of rules and regulations that you try to live by. Sometimes they become more specific over time, or there's more added to it, but I think everyone, you know, reducing something to writing is a lot better than assuming that you might, when you're dealing with human lives. You know, I don't think you take anything for an assumption at that
point.
Well,
do they ever add new written standards to the list of written standards?
Do what now?
Is the list of all written standards complete? In other words, from time to time, do they update it by adding a new one?
We do our Veterinary Practice Act. I would assume the Board of Healing Arts does the same
right,
thing.
Right. And my point is that there are some that have yet to be written because they have not yet been written. And violations of those need to be addressed so that we can stop things like an estimated $19.5 billion in health care costs attributable to medical errors every year, as reported by the Missouri Center for Public Safety. Not all these standards are written, and your bill would limit them and in that way. The next thing that you do is you say in the bill that Missouri standards cannot contradict CMS's standards. Well, that implies that there's two different sets of standards, Missouri's and CMS's.
I think Missouri is coming up to CMS standards. And so, you know, I think as a state we can go beyond that standard, but, you know, at least we need to rise to that standard so there's not the duplicated inspection process.
Well, so what if Missouri's standard required a higher degree of care than the CMS standard? Would not the hospital say, well, that contradicts, that's in contradiction. The CMS standard would not bring upon us a deficiency, but the state standard would. They would say that that contradicts it. And I have to tell you, in my opinion, the state of Missouri should be sovereign. We are the state of Missouri. We should decide what goes in on our borders, not CMS. I don't trust CMS. And I'll be glad to give you some stories as to why I don't trust CMS.
Well, you know, the regulatory standard for Medicare and Medicaid services throughout the United States, at a minimum, our department should meet those standards. That's what is actually said in the bill. And, you know, I'm sure that there's problems with all inspection processes.
Well, but I'm concerned about not following Missouri standards, which could be higher than CMS's standards.
They could be, but right now they're not.
Well, but you don't know that to be the case.
Well, I've read through 197 pretty numerous times and relate it back to the federal standards, and they're actually moving their standards up to meet CMS.
Then why is the need for that provision? Let's remove that provision. Can we agree to do that?
Remove what provision?
The provision in the bill that requires that Missouri standards not contradict with CMS's standards. Let's remove that since you said it's a non-issue.
It brings it up to a minimum. That's the minimum standard of inspection.
Well, does your bill require them to move it up?
Yes, to meet the minimum standards of CMS.
So
now, and I contend that in most hospitals that I've been in, and I've been a patient a few times, my family's been patient numerous times, most hospitals are way far and above these standards, the minimum standards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your bill on sub 2, let's see.
It's actually subdivision 2, line 11 on page 2. Subject to appropriation, the department shall ensure that its hospital licensure regulatory standards are consistent with and do not contradict the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which means that Missouri is giving up its authority to adopt more stringent rules. I mean, you're giving up Missouri's ability to regulate its own hospitals by doing that, because you're saying ours cannot contradict CMS's. Well, what if we find that CMS's is deficient and it is not effectively achieving higher quality? Then I don't want that in there. And then what about this subject to appropriations thing? What if the hospital lobby, being very powerful, reduces the appropriation line such that there's not enough money to do that, you know, or to do the adequate number of inspections? What if? I mean, that happens. I mean, when you make it subject to appropriations, then if we don't put the money in...
But we make that argument every year. Everything should be subject to appropriations. And I want to answer your question.
You want to make the care of our Missouri citizens subject to appropriation?
Well, I think the inspection process and all of those things are subject to appropriations. We have those lines in Department of Health and Senior Services that we go over in our budget on appropriates every year. So
then quote, if it's already subject to appropriation, do we need to have those words in the bill?
Yeah. I'm going to answer your question that you asked a bit ago about subject to appropriations and bringing our licensure regulatory standards to be consistent with and not contradictory to. You asked that question earlier. And I think that the federal standards say that protocols and standing orders that have been approved by a medical staff do not require a specific physician order prior to implementation. Hospitals, Missouri Hospital Association staff, and physicians have repeatedly asked the Department of Health and Senior Services to revise its regulations or provide guidance to the surveyors to mirror CMS's regulations. Because DSS has not done so, hospital staff are still required to obtain a physician order prior to initiating time-critical treatment, such as emergency care or administering prophylactic eye drops and other treatment to newborns. And I think you talked about this in your mother-in-law's, about your mother-in-law's health the other day, that, you know, this thing was held off for 24 hours. By bringing these standards in line, that treatment could have been initiated.
Well, wait a second. Hold. Were not the CMS standards already in effect over the hospital?
I think they're as far as inspection, but the hospitals are living by state standards as a general rule.
So you're saying they're not living by the CMS standards?
I don't think so, because that it has the department.
Well, you're a states' rights guy.
Let me explain
always,
to you that under the conditions of participation, if the hospital does not meet the Medicare standards, they are committing fraud against the United States government in the False Claims Act. They have to meet those standards according to the law. You know, what I'm hearing you say is that...
I'm giving you an example.
Right. But I'm hearing you say very clearly that Missouri hospitals don't always measure up to CMS standards. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that it, under the current regulations of Department of Health and Senior Services, this order can't go forward without having the doctor actually physically put the order in, where CMS is going to allow the emergency care and those treatments to go ahead immediately.
Okay, well, can't the state of Missouri, if they want, change that standard?
Why? I think they could change it by rule, in my opinion. They have not. That is the idea behind this bill.
Are you saying that all these standards are written as rules promulgated by the department?
Well, I think some of the, they can change standards by rules, yes.
Well, these aren't. these aren't all promulgated by rules. And if they are...
Well, I know they're not all, but they can
add to. There's no possible way they could all be.
You know, within certain departments, there's a whole set of rules that they live by that may come under a practice act or a different area. They're statutorily put in place, but, you know, our Department of Agriculture, there's a lot of rules in the Division of Animal Health that are promulgated toward animal health and prevention.
Let's talk about another standard that you're defining in your bill. You're wanting to have the state develop standards for deciding which complaints warrant an investigation.
Yes.
And that is ripe for abuse, because we might just have the standard that, you know, we saw a nurse not wash her hands, leaving one MRSA patient and walking over to another. And I'm the patient and I want to complain. I mean, I want that investigated. But this might be an example of where, you know, the department might say, well, subject to appropriations, we didn't have enough money to investigate those kinds of things, even though it could kill my patient, could kill my mother, sister, daughter, grandmother, father, grandfather. I mean, they could die as a result of these things. But right. If you define...
Well, I think that's an immediate danger. That is something that rises above. The example I used in introducing the bill was a family calls and complains, my loved one wasn't given any water after 10 o'clock last night. And it's an NPO patient. They don't understand that. Well, you wouldn't call out the Calvary in that issue.
But the thing is, do you believe that the department has the ability to correctly determine what set of things is worthy of investigation and what's not, and that they will not be influenced by their own budget, that they won't make the decision taking their budget into account rather than taking the care of the patient into account? That is a very scary thing for me, to have the department develop standards to decide which complaints to investigate. Let me tell you, I have personally, as a physician, complained about bad quality events that I've witnessed. And it has been sometimes like pulling teeth to get either the department or CMS to investigate these things. You know, I no longer make rounds on a regular basis at
your
hospital
board.
I'm sorry?
Did you complain to your hospital board or that group?
Yes, and I'll be glad to tell you some stories about that.
And I would be surprised if they did not take that seriously, coming from a staff position.
Well, then you would be surprised.
Because in my hospital, when a doctor walks on the floor and something isn't going the way he thinks it should, I've seen heads roll on the spot.
Well, let me tell you, you would be very surprised. Because as I told you, physicians who are employees of the hospital have an economic incentive not to make waves. They have an incentive to not listen to the junior physician who's complaining about some quality problems. They might lose their job. They might not be able to make the payment on their $500,000 home. They might have to pick up and move their family away. And these factors overwhelm their desire to get at the truth. And that is why we have to have independent state inspectors looking, because the physicians will not themselves adequately oversee the hospitals. We need these state inspectors. And so when you say, well, we're going to have standards for deciding which one to investigate, that scares the dickens out of me.
Can we afford more state inspectors? Would you advocate we inspect hospitals every 6 months?
How about we inspect them according to the law, which would be annually, and when instances of poor quality are seen and reported, that they are inspected. That needs to happen, and it needs to happen desperately in order to prevent Missouri's overall health care quality ranking from remaining average, with only slight improvement in patient indicators, ranking 20th in the nation. I mean, that's not good enough for my patients. It's not good enough for my family or my constituents or the citizens of Missouri.
And on the substitute, page 3, line 21, says hospitals and hospital personnel should have the opportunity to participate in training sessions provided to state licensure surveyors, which shall be provided at least annually.
Well, and that's kind of like I think it's more letting crooks go to FBI school.
Well, I don't agree with you there, because if people that work in that hospital don't know what's expected of them and are not being, quote, brought up to speed, to me that makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I have to tell you, my experience is that the surveyors need to have their techniques for detection of quality problems unique to the surveyors. We don't need to be telling the crooks how to evade the crime scene investigators.
See, I look at this as a way to help people learn how to do their job better, not show them how to game the system or to become a crook. I guess I look at the world differently than you do. But to me, if your idea is to prevent MRSA or to prevent hospital infections, post-op infections, I want these people to do a lot of on-site training. I want them to have oversight. But I think you win that battle with people and with people within that hospital.
Well, you know, I think that you're wrong. I think that hospitals don't always want to spend the money and put the number of nurses that they need to solve the understaffing problem. And so what they're trying to do here is to figure out how to look good without necessarily being good. And I've witnessed that. You know, in our hospital, over the years of my career, when Joint Commission was coming to town, for 2 weeks prior, there would be the painters and the plasterers going around fixing every ding in the wall. Looked all new paint job. They would have little cards, little flash cards around for the entire staff to look at. Like, the surveyors are coming in 2 weeks. Let's start following all of the rules exactly correctly. Like, let's not let the chart lie out. Let's make sure that there's nobody eating a hamburger on their desk. I mean, that kind of stuff. It's just, and they're everywhere. And so then the surveyors come, and they get their survey, and then the next day, I mean, here they are again. The charts are lying out. The hamburgers are on the desk. I mean, to tell the hospitals how the surveyors are going to do their job would be like, you know,
I don't think they're going to get to the nitty-gritty or to the down and the dirty, as you say.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're invited. Your bill, look at what it does. They shall have the opportunity to participate in the training sessions.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, I'm telling you what's wrong with that. The surveyors need to walk into the hospital and have every tool at their disposal that they know to detect the quality problems so that the hospital hasn't gone around and hidden those things. I'm telling you, that's what we need. And yours goes on even. Yours is even goes on and talks about training of surveyors assigned to inspection of hospitals to the fullest extent possible, including the training of surveyors previously designated as a surveyor specific. Now, since it's a different kind of surveyor and it's specific, I must think that it means that it's specific to the specific hospital that's about to get surveyed. So if my hospital is going to get surveyed, then I want my hospital personnel there to be present when they train the surveyor on what they need to be looking at my hospital. And if you're the patient who's got the complaint, how are you going to feel about that? I mean, like, if let's just say that my mother...
I will answer that question. In my opinion, if they come into my hospital and they do a survey
and that's all kept quiet, and I don't see it, or I don't have a staff training, whether I do it with them or with me, if I see where my deficiencies are, that's how we learn and improve.
And that's supposed to happen after the survey, but let's just say that my mother received bad care. Let's say she died. My mother is dead. And listen, I have had this happen to many of my patients. I mean, where my patient's family member, their family member has a dead family member. I mean, don't forget, 98,000 patients die annually in hospitals due to medical errors. 98,000. Do you realize that's 2,000 per state a year? You know, that is outrageous, and your bill removes a lot of the regulatory oversight. And as I said, if you're willing to let a little competition breathe and have hospitals compete openly and have patients be able to vote with their feet, then I'm more than willing to look at these things. But let's have a little free competition, because I'm sick and tired of having my dead patient and not feel that the true root cause was ever detected.
And again, I think this comes back to a people problem in a hospital, not a hospital problem. This is a people problem. This is a delivery of care problem.
But this people problem is determined by the oversight that occurs. You must not make it easy for the hospitals to hide the quality problems that just killed off the patient or maimed them for life.
I don't think we are. All we're doing is trying to eliminate some of the duplicative inspection process.
Well, then let's limit your bill down to the first sentence.
Do what?
Let's limit your bill down to the first sentence about the duplicative. That's truly duplicative. You know, I mean, I understand. I mean, I understand duplicativeness. I don't really want the state government to spend money that's duplicative, but at the same time, I don't want to remove real oversight from the hospitals. Let's talk about your rule that they cannot investigate issues seen but not part of the inspection. In other words, you know, there's a dead body in the freezer, but we have to look the other way.
Don't you think that would be a serious or an extreme problem that they, you know, I don't think. In other words, if someone's going in and they're looking at the lab and if something comes up that, let's take a look at same-day surgery while we're here, or let's go up and, let's go to telemetry and screw them up for a couple hours and what they're trying to do for the patient. I think the senator from Green made a very good point. Why have these guys running? If they have a complaint, I want them to go check that complaint out. If they have numerous complaints, don't have a problem with it. But don't use it as a fishing expedition.
Well, I'm not. Your bill isn't trying to get rid of a fishing expedition. What your bill says is that they will not look at quality problems that are seen, but just don't rise up to this arbitrary level that isn't defined in your bill. I mean, it's got words, but who's to say what rises to the level of needing to be looked at? I mean, if my mother is in the hospital and there's a problem, I want the inspector to be looking at it and fix it. I mean, I do not want my mom to be one of the 98,000 people that die annually in hospitals due to medication errors.
I'll tell you who I want looking at my mother rather than an inspector. I want the doctor or the nurse that's in charge of her care that day, that moment in time.
I don't need
somebody from the state of Missouri coming down telling them, you did this or you did that. After the fact, if there's a problem,
I have to tell you.
Then I understand that.
I have lived through
this. But I want the person that's in charge of their care to be the person responsible.
Let me tell you a little story about a patient named Mary. This is the story that probably illustrates why I'm standing here today.
May I?
Sure.
Okay.
I love listening to you, Doc.
My patient, Mary, was in her late 60s. That day, she had been operated on her shoulder, and she was in what's called surgical step down. Okay? Now, that's one level below intensive care unit.
I understand.
And it's a level above the regular floor.
Yes.
She's supposed to be getting watched very carefully. And my patient, Mary, in the evening, was given a laxative. And she had a catheter, she had an IV, she had oxygen on. She had electrical wires to her chest. And her arm was immobilized in a huge apparatus because the surgeon had operated on her shoulder. Elderly little lady. And so the laxative took effect. And she needed to go, so what did she do? She pushed her call light button. Now, on surgical step down, you're supposed to have nurses to answer the call light. And so here she had to really, really go. I mean, you know, she's in pain in this very critical situation. Nobody came. So she pushed it again, and nobody came. And after a half an hour, she called her daughter. No, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. After an hour, she called her daughter. Her daughter arrived about 15 minutes later and went looking for a nurse. Couldn't find one for several minutes. And finally found the nurse on the floor in the back room. In my opinion, there was understaffing going on. Now, the next morning, when I arrived at the hospital, the family was furious. They said, our mother, here on surgical step down, had this happen to her, pushed the call light, didn't get answered. I mean, there was nobody came, and 75 minutes elapsed. 75 minutes! Okay, so what I did was I picked up the chart, because I'm the doctor that you're talking about. I picked up the chart and I wrote down, family has a complaint about patient's call light going unanswered for 75 minutes. Please investigate. I would appreciate a report. So I showed the family what I had written on an order sheet, and I went to my office, my medical office, after I was done with my rounds. Now, about an hour or so later, I got a call from one of the nurse administrators, kind of like maybe the floor leader kind of head nurse. And the head nurse said, Dr. Shaw, that order that you wrote, And I apologize, Mr. President, for having used my own name during debate. And she said to me, that order, we would like to take that order off the chart and put your concern on a concern form, because those kinds of things don't belong in the orders. Now, I said, no, once I've written an order, it's part of the legal document. I'll bet you that I can't legally remove that order. And I want you to investigate and give me a report as to what happened with my patient. 75 minutes without answering the call. She could have been dead. In fact, when call lights go unanswered, I mean, that is a violation of many, many regulations. So, I said no. And I finished my day. The next morning, I went to make rounds. And I looked at the chart, and the order was not on the chart. And there was a little sticky note on the front that said, please call me. And it was signed by the chief medical officer. One of those doctors that's supposed to be overseeing the quality of care here. So I called the doctor, and I go, Chuck, you know, I got your note. He says, I'm not going to allow that order to remain on the chart. It doesn't belong on the chart. I said, well, would you put in writing to me why you're taking my order off and explain to me under what authority you did that? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. So I went home, and that day I made a letter to the chief of staff of the hospital, who, by the way, was an employee of the hospital or of the group that ran the emergency room at the time. And I said in my letter, this is what happened. This is absolutely unacceptable. And I am asking you to investigate and demand that my order be replaced to the chart and that this case be examined and find out what happened so that it will never happen again. Well, I delivered it myself. I typed it up, carefully drafted it, and delivered it myself to the chief of staff. And I never heard anything back, by the way. Never another word. So I wrote a letter to the medical director who took the order off the chart. And I wrote and I said, regarding this situation, and I reiterated what happened. And I said, at this point, please tell me the authority under which you removed my order from the chart, and also please investigate, you know, find an investigation of what happened to my patient. Guess what? I never heard anything back. I never got a response from the medical director. So what I determined at that point was that I would outline for myself a course of action and that I would follow it, because this was very, very disruptive to my ability to function. I mean, I had a lot of heartburn over this. So I waited a month.
Mr. President.
Senator from Phelps.
I ask that bill be laid over.
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from St. Francis, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Could I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, the senator from St. Francis is asked to inquire of you. Do you yield?
I do.
He does. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, I listened to the last hour or so to this, and I think you make some very compelling points. And I appreciate that because I took some notes. You know, you said that, first, patient safety was the number one thing that we should be concerned with. Remember saying that?
Yes, Senator.
All right. Well, I agree with you, and I know this electronic drug monitoring bill that you said that you were going to filibuster, you would agree that patient safety is the number one thing. Then you were saying we have to make sure that we have things in place to monitor to make sure illegal activity is not happening. And you know, Senator, there's illegal activity happening on script writing all over the state because it's the fastest growing abuse.
Senator, I love the way that you're trying to draw a comparison and an analogy.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, your
patient
analogy doesn't
safety,
follow.
Illegal activity and then money spent. And I remember our Medicaid people said there are tens of millions of dollars we're spending on false drug scripts written.
Don't you believe
and we can't
that
take it now?
Don't you believe
so
that
I
being alive,
making
Senator,
the point
being
of the
alive
need for
is
electronic
the first
monitoring
condition of liberty. Being alive is the number one thing that you got to be in order to have any liberty whatsoever.
So we're shifting
liberty
gears now.
Involves life.
We're shifting gears.
And so here is a bill.
Safety.
Here is a bill that
patient
would prevent
safety.
A patient's life from being in danger to protect their liberty. And here is another bill that you're bringing up that
yes.
would take away their liberty.
That's right, and their life.
because, Senator, there's hundreds of documented deaths from overprescription in the state of Missouri because we not one
not
of the 48
as a result of someone who is holding him or herself out in order to help the
Senator,
person
I just wanted
stay
to
alive.
Thank you for making your point about it, and thank you for
thank you, Senator.
Saying that you endorse my bill. Thank you.
Senator from the Green, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield? He does. You may proceed.
Senator, very briefly, because I understand that we're going to be moving on here. Did I hear you correctly earlier that you felt like there needed to be more regulation of these facilities?
Actually, Senator, what I'm saying is that there needs to be more regulation than would be available under this bill. In fact, if the regulation that came down were as described in the law, it would be an improvement because, as the Senator from Phelps described, we're not currently following that law. And they need to follow that law rather than weaken it. And what I did say was that we need to have some effective way of improving the quality, and whether it's going to be regulation, the tort system, or open and free competition, if one of those would work, then I would be satisfied. But we have hamstrung the competition, and we have so many limiters on the tort law that the only thing left is regulation. And if you take away the regulation, you got to give something in return. And that is open competition.
Well, and I know we've laid the bill over, and since there was another inquiry, I thought it would be appropriate just to jump up, and it's my statement is really not pertaining to the bill in general, but more the discussion that we've had about regulatory reform in this chamber, and I think that it's important that we're consistent. And I believe that you and I share the concerns about the proliferation of regulation that's strangling small business, and I don't want us to be advocating for more regulation anywhere.
Then let us negotiate for less. Let us sit down and let's talk about the effects of this bill, and let's talk about the effects of the certificate of need process, and let's do a negotiation and drive to a compromise.
Well, again, my comments and question was really more in general than specific to the bill, and I appreciate the opportunity to just bring that up and ask you that, and I'll move on because I think the senator from the 23rd wants to make a motion.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from 23rd. We are...
Mr. President, without objection, some of the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send that report forward. When it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 568, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 736 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 563 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 562 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 578 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 690 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the governor?
Has there been messages from the governor? There has been. Please
thank you,
read those
Mr.
messages.
President. I would ask that the reading be waived and that they be printed in the journal.
It shall be ordered.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will be the order of business of announcements.
Senate shall be on the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the Senator from Buchanan?
We are on the order of business of announcements, Senator.
Okay.
Would you like to make an announcement?
No. Can I get unanimous consent to inquire the Senator from Buchanan?
Seeing no objection, you may proceed. Senator, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
Proceed.
Make it very brief. I know the floor leader wants to get out of here. I just want to thank you for walking that tightrope between safety and liberty. I think that's what you're trying to do, and I know a couple of our colleagues were challenging you on the idea of that somehow being inconsistent. It's always a tightrope.
Yes, sir.
And I think it was Adams that said that if men were angels, there'd be no need for government. But, you know, men aren't angels.
It's true.
Right? So there is a need for government, and there's a proper role for government. And so I appreciate, again, Senator, your role in balancing and walking that tightrope and your efforts here this morning.
Thank you so much,
thank
Senator.
You, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Madam Secretary, would you please refer the two addendums to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments? Shall be so ordered. Senator from the 15th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. We're on the order of business of announcements.
We are.
I have an announcement. Your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government will meet in the Senate Lounge at 1 p.m. this day.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Johnson. Proceed, Senator.
Your hardworking education committee will begin their work at 3 o'clock promptly in the Senate Lounge.
Promptly at 3 o'clock. Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Governmental Accountability will have a hearing that starts at a different time today, 3:15.
The committee shall start at 3:15.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Seeing no further announcements, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 4 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from 23rd that the Senate shall stand in recess until 4 p.m. this afternoon. All in favor of that say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have carried the motion. The Senate shall stand in recess until 4 p.m. this afternoon.